preacher's Sunday sermon was, "Forgive your enemies." He asked, "How many have forgiven their enemies?" About half held up their hands. He then repeated the question. This time about 80% held up their hands. He then repeated his question a third time. The entire congregation held up their hands except one elderly lady. "Mrs. Jones," the preacher asked, "aren't you willing to forgive your enemies?" "I don't have any," she replied. "That's very unusual," the preacher said. "How old are you?" 93. "Mrs. Jones, please come to the front and tell the congregation how a person cannot have an enemy in the world." The little sweetheart of a lady tottered down the aisles and said, "It's easy. I just outlived all those rascals." The readings today are linked together by one main theme, the power of Christian love when exercised in unconditional forgiveness by believing community of forgiven sinners. The choice to love even the enemy, to do good, to bless, and to forgive rather than retaliate, seek revenge, and even to kill the enemy. This is the challenge of our reading today, as I said in the beginning, to love the way God loves. And we have an example of how to do this. For in our first reading, David made the righteous to love his enemy, respecting God's anointed king by forgiving him, King Saul, and relying on God for justice, while Saul continued to make the wrong choices, perpetuating his misery with his revenge. Why does Saul seek to kill David? Why should he be replaced as king? Because Saul never placed any value on things spiritual. He disobeyed God's command. Respect for things spiritual, however, was precisely what made kingship in Israel distinctive. Kingship in Israel was service to God first and foremost. King Saul forgets that his authority as king comes from God. The great distance between Saul and David is measured not merely by feet, but more significantly by the degree of their reliance on the ways of God. In our second reading, St. Paul tells us how the first Adam made a wrong choice of disobedience, bringing death into the world, whereas Jesus, the second Adam, made the correct choice by fulfilling his Father's saving plan, bringing eternal life to all who believe. In our gospel, Jesus gives a revolutionary moral teaching about correct choices in our human relationships, placing special emphasis on the golden rule, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." This golden rule is amplified by a string of particular commands: love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. For Jesus, love is a fundamental attitude that seeks another's good. St. Thomas will say, love is willing the good of the other. That's why one way of loving our children is to correct them if their ways or actions are leading them to destruction. As a parent, as the one who loves, we have to tell them the truth and correct them for their good. Jesus orders us to love our enemies and to be merciful as God our Father is merciful. Jesus challenges us to do for others what God has done for us. Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. He concludes by instructing us to stop judging and start forgiving. Justice is good, but it's not enough. Justice does not heal. Forgiveness heals us. The gospel passage contains four commands of Jesus: love, forgive, do good, and pray. They specify the kind of love that Christian followers is expected to show toward an enemy. The enemy is one who endures, hates, or rejects the Christian. So love your enemies. This command proposes a course of action that is contrary to human nature. Because as we know, it's even hard to love our members of our family or even our co-workers, how much more the enemy. Jesus invites those who follow him to repudiate their natural inclination and instead follow his example, the example of the Heavenly Father. He recommends that merely a warm affection, or philia in Greek, such as one might have for one's family, or a passionate devotion, eros, such as one might expect between spouses, but a gracious active interest, agape, in the welfare of precisely those persons who are antagonistic to us. Agape is the love that cares deeply for others, simply because they are created in God's image and wishes them well, because that is what God wishes. Jesus not only commanded us to love our enemies in this way, agape love, he also gave us the most vivid and awesome example of this type of love in action. While hanging on the cross, I lost my copy. Receipt. While hanging on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Also in our gospel antiphon, we heard Jesus saying, "I give you a new commandment, says the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you." And he gave us the example. Love, we know it for sure, is not an emotion. It's not about feeling. It is in the will. It is a decision to do good to others, even if the other is not doing anything good to you. This is how Jesus loves us, and he commanded us to do the same. Love one another as I have loved you. Some people who try to do this, of course, example is our Saint John Paul II, who went to visit Aliagka, who was trying to kill him, assassinate him, and he came to the prison to forgive him. Of course, we have also Saint the one in our parish here, Saint Maria Goretti, who forgave the one who killed him also, and this person was even present in the canonization of Saint Maria Goretti. And also the mother of Saint Maria Goretti forgave this man and even adopted him to be his son, to be her son. So that's the power of forgiveness. And both of them are following the Lord. In his autobiography, The Story of My Experiments with Truth, Mahatma Gandhi mentioned the Sermon of the Mount, which is the continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, this gospel today, as one of the main religious works that inspired him to search for ways of bringing about political freedom for India by nonviolent resistance to oppression. He writes, "I came to see the Sermon on the Mount was the whole of Christianity, For one who wanted to live a Christian life, it is that sermon that has endeared Jesus to me. End of quote. When Mahatma Gandhi was gunned down in 1948, his last gesture was to press his palms together and raise his folded hands to his lips. In Hindu, it's a sign of forgiveness. So God wants us to conquer evil with good. Martin Luther King was a great admirer of Gandhi. When a gang of racial fanatics set fire to King's house, an Afro-American mob gathered, ready to take revenge. But he told them, "When you live by the rule, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you end up with a nation of blind and toothless people." Then he led the gathering in prayer for the white brothers who had burned his house. That is what the amazing grace of forgiveness, the central theme of our gospel today, of our reading. So, learning this example, this is also how God is inviting us today to conquer evil with good, to love the way God loves. May Mary, the Mother of Mercy, help us all to be merciful like the Father. Amen.